Well, on 9/11, I was working for Mayor Giuliani in the Office of Emergency Management. We were located in 7 World Trade Center. I was the Director of Information Technology, and I was responsible for running the technical infrastructure for the Emergency Operations Center and for the department.
And then about 9 o'clock, what happened?
Well, I was actually on my way into work from New Jersey, and the first plane hit the tower. And because of my role and position, I was able to come through the roadblocks and finally get down to the site and huddled up with my team. And at that time, the buildings were still burning. But we had evacuated 7 World Trade Center because of their proximity to the burning towers. And, you know, also on the way in, the second tower was hit, so I knew we were dealing with an attack on the homeland more than just a tragic accident. So after we had evacuated the building, I was on the mayor's command bus setting up some technology and communications. We were about 1,000 feet away from the towers, I guess, at that point, and started to hear what to me sounded like a huge jet coming in, as if I was sitting on the end of a runway and a jet was taking off right overhead. And we thought it was a third jet coming in to take out the command center. And the roar got louder and louder, and then we dove for cover on the bus. And then the noise just stopped. I picked my head up, and it was we were right in the middle of the dust cloud. It was a nuclear winter. And we moved a couple blocks north, and the second bus came down, and we were caught up in that debris cloud. And from then on, it was just moving towards rescue and recovery. I remember getting off the bus and helping a few people that were all, I'm sure all the iconic images are familiar to your listeners, with the people fleeing the Trade Center and covered in dust. I had kind of a second job at the time. I'm a certified paramedic, so those duties were pressed into service, helping a few of the victims while we got things together on the command bus. And then we started with the recovery effort very shortly after that morning's events, you know, feeling lucky to have survived. I was actually pressed into service as the staging officer for heavy equipment coming into town because of my paramedic background. And we also had to start looking for a new command center site, because with the collapse of the towers, 7 World Trade Center, where the Emergency Operations Center was located, was no longer habitable. It actually, a lot of people don't know it, but it actually fell. A 50-story building collapsed at 5 o'clock that afternoon.
I remember that. Now, the word homeland and homeland security really wasn't part of the lexicon in the United States until the day after. And what I remember was it seems like at least a dozen of the major federal contractors suddenly had homeland security divisions. So tell us what role contractors played for you in New York City in the immediate aftermath, and then we want to talk about how the federal relationship to suppliers has evolved since then. But first, tell us what suppliers did and what contractors did right away.
Well, so we had to reconstitute an emergency operations center that was going to support the recovery operations. So we built a 250-seat emergency operations center by the end of that week in trade show space on the Upper West Side. And the vendor community came through with flying colors in terms of getting us equipment and services that we needed, computers, networking equipment, supplies. And the vendor community came through as well with my ties back to the Army and the contracting community. We were able to get things that we had lost in the collapse, like satellite phones for backup communications, STU-3s, the secure telephone units, so that the mayor and the director of emergency management can talk to the White House. Robots were brought in to assist in the recovery, and that came from the Army and the contractor community. And then some specialized technologies like triangulation systems to try to locate cellular signals to rescue victims, as well as flyovers of infrared sensors so that they could be mapped onto maps of the pile. And those maps were produced by a contractor and then shared with the fire department command so they could see where in the pile the hot spots actually were. The fire wasn't actually necessarily underneath where the smoke was coming out, but with the heat mapping, we could figure out where to put the water on the fire.
So you had a lot of contractor support for a lot of different variety of tasks that nobody could have imagined, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like the contractor community always does, moving to the second part of your question, it allows for some specialized skills and staffing surge. So we were able, again, building a huge emergency operations center, we were able to redirect staffing through contractors to the EOC to support the technical and operations work that was being done in the command center.
We're speaking with Chris Bonin. He's Director of Homeland Security Solutions with CACI. Just want to make sure we can get you reintroduced there. So let's talk about today now. And now that you're in the federal contracting community on the contractor side, the requirements of the federal government have changed a lot since the initial days after 9/11. How has the contractor side kept up? And sometimes I think you even helped the government anticipate what it might need.
That's right, because, you know, we've always provided those specialized skills and the staffing surge, and setting up, for instance, an organization like the Department of Homeland Security, where did that organization come from? Well, in a lot of cases, the staffing and the expertise came from different aspects of the Department of Defense. So naturally, the contractor community that were partners with the Department of Defense operations were a natural fit in the establishment of DHS through the services and solutions that we have been providing all along. So that methodology that's proven through decades of support to DOD became a methodology that, you know, for acquisition and implementation of solutions that supports Homeland Security and other civilian agencies. The other interesting part of that is how that methodology transferred into state and local. I like to use the recycling paradigm of think global but act local. And in Homeland Security, that is the strategy, with DHS setting the standards and the tone and the priorities. But the funds push out to the states and the localities and the regions for implementing the solutions and the preparedness, because the emergencies, the attacks, the all-hazard events like the hurricane we just suffered along the East Coast, happens locally. The localities, the regions, the states have to respond, and they need the solutions and the preparedness posture. So the strategy for doing acquisition and doing solution implementation out at the state and local up until 9/11 was spotty. It was different in each location. It was inconsistent. And quite honestly, there was a lack of history in putting in broad scale enterprise applications and solutions. So the development life cycle, from requirements analysis through implementation and support, that was used at the federal level all those years translated really well into the civilian level, and we've seen a lot of focus on state and local government implementing solutions and technologies and services and needing that support.
Sure.
From the contractor community as well.